Dr. York. As I mentioned earlier, Ryan Jackson was the one who was originally going to give the next presentation on an overview of insecticide resistance in cotton, but he regrets that he couldn't be here today. He had a death in the family, so I'm going to give that presentation for him. And just want to give everybody a warning. The ones that are leaving are probably pretty smart, because I just got these slides about an hour ago and just sat right there and flipped through them while Dr. York was giving his talk. So this is going to be pretty rough, but I'll fight through it. First, we need to, if we're going to talk about insecticide resistance, we need to somewhat define what resistance is. There's many different definitions out there, but Ryan had two in his presentation. One from IRAC, which states that it's a heritable change in the sensitivity of a pest population that is reflected in the repeated failure of a product to achieve the expected level of control when used according to the label recommendation for that pest species. And then in 1986, the National Research Council Board for Agriculture came up with a similar definition, and it is the inherited ability of a pest to tolerate doses of a toxicant that would prove lethal to the majority of individuals in a normal population of that species. These two things essentially say the same thing, and there's really two things in those definitions that are important. One is that it's heritable, and one that is that it a dose would kill a normal population won't kill a resistant population. So what does history tell us about insect adaptability? In 1915, S.A. Forbes was quoted as saying that the struggle between man and insects began long before the dawn of civilization. It is due to the fact that both men and certain insect species constantly want the same thing at the same time. And Howard stated that insects are better equipped to occupy the earth than our humans, having been on the earth for 50 million years. In 1914, it was the first documented case of resistance of an insect to an insecticide, and that was the San Jose scale. And that was one of the old inorganic arsenic-type insecticides. Since that time, this graph's adapted from Whalen et al., who maintains a resistant pest management newsletter, and it's just showing the cases of insecticide resistance over the past 100 years or so. And as you can see, about the 1960s, which was really the big influx of new insecticides from the 50s into the 60s, when we got a lot of the organophosphates, organochlorines, pyrethroids coming into the market. Since that time, we've had a dramatic increase in the cases of resistance of insects to insecticides. So what does that mean? What does resistance mean to the grower? Well, it's estimated the impact of pesticide resistance on crop protection in the U.S. exceeds about $4 billion annually. And you can imagine what that would be if you considered resistance on a worldwide scale. IRAC, which is the Insecticide Resistance Action Committee, is a industry-sponsored group that was developed, that was formed to provide a coordinated effort from the crop protection industry to prevent or delay the onset of resistance and to monitor for resistance. IRAC was initially involved in and funded research projects dealing with insecticide resistance, but now primarily facilitate communication and education on insecticide resistance and management strategies. The IRAC website is a resource focused on educational materials for academia, researchers, industries, authorities, and growers. And there's a lot of good things on that IRAC website for any of you that want to look that up. So what insecticide resistance issues are important in cotton? All of these insects listed here have developed some resistance to at least one class of insecticide. And if you look at that list, that's essentially all of our important insect pests in the United States, except thrips are one thing that's not on there. But there are some cases of insecticide resistance in some thrip species, like the western flower thrips, which isn't our primary thrip species in cotton. But these are really all of our key insect pests in cotton. And at some point, they have developed resistance to at least one insecticide. The tarnished plant bug is really something that I'm very familiar with, being from the Mississippi Delta. This insect is really influencing the cotton acreage in Mississippi especially in the Delta area. Cost of control has become extremely high for this insect. We're having to make multiple applications, and it's resistant to just about all of the insecticides that we have available to control the tarnished plant bug. It's resistant to pyrethroids, organophosphates. We're starting to see a little increase in the tolerance to the neonicotinoids as well. And the newer chemistries like the neonicotinoids, like imidacloprid, Trimax Pro, and Centric, they at best give us about 80-85% control, whereas the old standards back, like organophosphates, Orthane, back 10-15 years ago, we could spray a third of a pound to a half a pound of Orthane and get 95% control, just clean up a field. Now we're spraying a pound of Orthane and hoping to get 50 or 60% control. This is just showing some data from Gordon Snodgrass looking at pyrethroid resistance in tarnished plant bugs. A susceptible population at this dose, this is showing percent mortality, the red line, and a susceptible population would be about 90% mortality at this dose. You can see from 2000 up to 2006 or 2007, he's showing decreased control with the pyrethroids. Essentially in the Delta in Mississippi, the pyrethroids are no longer an option for plant bug control. When we spray field rates now, we're hoping for 10 to 20% control. This is a similar slide showing resistance to acephate. This is showing it as a LC50, which is just a dose that would kill 50% of a susceptible population. For a susceptible population, LC50 is 3.1. As you can see from 1998, we've been fairly somewhat above that, around 4.5. And we've gradually increased. Since about 2004, that's been increasing dramatically. We're now, our average LC50 across the Delta is about 16 parts per million. And that's well above the levels where we'd expect susceptible control. This is some work that Gordon did looking at the inheritance of acephate resistance or Orthane resistance. This is just doing some crosses comparing a resistant population to a susceptible population. And the bottom line from this slide is that resistance is semi-dominant. And that's going to be real important in terms of how the resistance spreads throughout the population in the Delta, as well as to other areas outside of the Delta. These are a couple of resistant populations that are showing multiple resistance to many different classes of insecticides. The one on the left is the population on the left was collected around Rolling Fork, Mississippi in 2005. As you can see, it's got fairly high resistance ratios to permethrin, malathion, and bidrin. The Orthane, I know that 3.6 doesn't look high compared to some of those others, but what we've been able to show is with Orthane, some of these, those resistance ratios that are lower than for some of our other compounds mean a lot. In other words, with Orthane, when we get above about 3, a resistance ratio of 3, we start seeing control failures in the field. And that's what this slide's showing. If you look, this is that population from Rolling Fork where the resistance ratio to Orthane is 3.6. The numbers at the top of this graph are showing where we took individuals from that population, sprayed field rates, and caged the bugs on those plants. As you can see, the best we could hope for is with a pound of Orthane, we got 48% control, less than 50% control with a pound of Orthane. So these are obviously resistant to Orthane, and that would not give us acceptable control in the field. And this is a situation where we cage these bugs on the top terminal of the plant, so they're not down in the plant where coverage is an issue as well. So we'd probably expect much less control of these insects in the field. Neonicotinoid resistance, Gordon Snodgrass has been doing this. As I mentioned earlier, he really hasn't seen a whole lot. There has been a little bump in with imidacloprid, but it's really nothing to be concerned about. The neonicotinoids are still providing the same levels of control they were in the past. Insecticide resistance in bollworm, this is something that we really haven't thought about in a while. But at one time, we could control bollworms with many of our organophosphates, For the most part, the organophosphates are no longer effective against bollworms. Now we're starting to see some things with pyrethroids. It's the resistance problems that we're seeing with pyrethroids. We're not at any type of critical level yet. It seems to be somewhat of a transient phenomenon where resistance will pop up in one area one year and somewhere else the next. So we don't really know exactly what's going on there with pyrethroid resistance in bollworms. These are just some data from Roger Leonard showing resistance levels over time during the different months. The orange bars are showing from 1998 to 2006, and then the green bars are from 2007. As you can see, just over the years, resistance of bollworms to the pyrethroids has increased significantly. This is just another way of looking at that, showing some data. The orange bars from 1998 and the blue lines from 2007. As you can see, that line shifted up somewhat since 1998. So the first substantial report of resistance to pyrethroids was by Stottlebacher in 1990. As I mentioned, this seems to be a transient problem, and it just seems to keep bouncing around. Pyrethroids do remain our main insecticide for bollworm control, even over top of our BT cottons. And BT resistance in bollworms, this is something I really don't know what Ryan wanted to say about this. I think this goes back to some of his graduate work at North Carolina State, where they've done some work looking at resistance with lab-selected colonies of bollworms to the Cry1AC protein and BT cotton, showing that inheritance was incompletely recessive. And he states here that the LC50s tended to be higher than those prior to the release of BT cotton, and there's substantial variability exists in the measurements of BT susceptibility. These are just showing some data from Randy Luttrell when he was at the University of Arkansas. As you can see, since 1992, we've seen a lot more variability, although there's a lot more samples taken now than he took in the past. And it looks like maybe some of those LC50s are creeping up a little bit, but it really doesn't appear to be anything to be concerned about at this time. And this is just showing the average annual LC50 for Cry1AC over from 1988 to 2008. You can see there's a slight increase, but really nothing to be that concerned about over that time period. I don't know what he wanted to show on it. Oh, this is just showing that the LC50 ratio is really just a flat line since 2002. So what do these data mean? No significant measurable increase in LC50 estimates in the last 7 years. Heritable traits existed at relatively high frequencies prior to the introduction of BT cotton, and although reduced susceptibility has not been measured in the laboratory, we are not aware of any reduction in field efficacy. Where else might resistance be a concern? Eradication programs. Boll weevil, hundreds of millions of dollars spent in this program. The National Cotton Council estimates that for every dollar spent on eradication costs, U.S. cotton industry will accrue about $12 in benefits. But for the pink bollworm eradication, estimated cost of about $150 billion, and the benefits of that are about $32 million annually for cotton producers upon program completion. These are some data I think that John Adamczyk sent to Ryan, just looking at the susceptibility of boll weevils to malathion, where they're in an active eradication program. I don't know if John's here. Maybe if any of y'all have any questions from John about that, or I see Scott's here. I think he worked on some of this as well. If any of you have any questions, you can talk to them. But it looks like there's really nothing to be concerned about in terms of boll weevil resistance. So where else might resistance be a concern? BT selection with boll worm. There's no refuge required for the two-gene cotton. The refuge has been reduced for corn to 20% for the two-gene corn products, and that's going to increase selection pressure of bollworms. Neonicotinoids resistance in aphid and tarnished plant bug populations. We're putting a tremendous amount of selection pressure with the neonicotinoid seed treatments, followed by neonicotinoid foliar applications during the early squaring period, and that's definitely a concern with cotton aphids. We're starting to show some levels of increase in aphid resistance. And with that, I'll end, and hope it wasn't too brutal for you. I'll try to answer any questions if I could.